Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. We're looking at the works of Jesus. I also want to mention Mark and Kathy Dixon have a son who is a missionary through BIMI, and he and his family are looking to go to the Philippines as missionaries. And COVID has kept them sidelined about getting into the country and about not being wise to travel. And they, I think, are tired of waiting and they want to go on. And mom and dad are concerned for them and are praying for them and, you know, trying to advise them that maybe they should wait a little longer. I've given them some information, a couple of missionaries that we support in the Philippines. And I've invited, if he can come and visit before they go, you know, we'll be glad to have him speak and take care of him while he's here. So countries like the Philippines and South Africa and Taiwan, they have a pretty good lockdown on tourists coming in right now. And their Solomon Islands are not letting anybody in. And you have to quarantine if you do get into those countries. And then at your own expense. And then you have to be tested. And then you, if they have church, they're at 50% capacity is all they're allowing to take place, 50%. So pray for the missionaries. That makes it very hard on them, very difficult. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, thought it was rather amazing. This woman had a hemorrhage for 12 years. And this little girl he's going to lay hands on to heal her is 12 years of age. Verse 26, she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talithai kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. A number of commentators said this expression in the Aramaic language is translated into English for us from the Greek. And he said this would be the sort of morning greeting that a mother would go into the room and tell their child to get up and get ready for going out to work or school or whatever may be going on. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that they should be given, that she should be commanded, excuse me, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. I read all three passages that cover this miracle, and the wording is not the same in them all. And sometimes my brain gets ahead of my mouth, or my mouth gets ahead of my brain, I think it is, and I don't quote it right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the miracles of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we pray that we'll focus on him this morning, give him glory, and that we'll believe, as you said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Help us to be people that believe you and believe your word and believe your promises. And we wait patiently for your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're looking at the works that Jesus wrought, the miracles. Miracles are supernatural reality that men cannot deny. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 came to Jesus, and he was a ruler of the Pharisees, and he came at night. Maybe he didn't want the others to know he was coming to Jesus. He said, no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus didn't beat about the bush with him. He immediately said to him, Nicodemus, marvel not that you must be born again. You've got to believe. You've got to be saved. You've got to know the Lord Jesus in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he understood that miracles required the power of God. Miracles are the mighty power of God at work. We think about creation in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. The Bible tells us God created everything that we see, the heavens and the earth, all the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and then man and woman. And God gave them the ability to recreate after their own image as he created them after his own image. The power of God in creation, the power of God to destroy. When man became so wicked that his mind was on evil continuously, God destroyed the earth with the flood. And only Noah and his family found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God told him to build the ark and gave him the blueprint for it. And the ark rescued them. Many of you have gone up to Kentucky and seen the ark, the reproduction of what they believe the ark looked like and the size dimensions of the ark. And that wooden boat with its dimensions, 520 boxcar loads of animals could fit in that ark. And we can go a lot of details about that, but that's not my message today. I just want you to think about the power of God to destroy the world with a flood, the power of God to create the world to begin with, the power of God to heal every manner of disease, and the power of God to raise one from the dead, as Jesus did with this 12-year-old girl. He also had the power over Satan and demons as he cast demons from people who were possessed of demons. And the demons would speak out and say, we know who you are, Jesus, the Son of God. Have you come here to torment us before our time? My friends, there's not a greater definition of the future of hell and the lake of fire for everyone who's an unbeliever in Jesus Christ than what the demons themselves have given, that they will be tormented one day by him. And he made that place called hell for Satan and his angels. But if you reject God's plan of salvation, then that will be your destiny. And we pray that you will not wait, and you will not put it off, and you will not use human pride, and you will not allow sins to keep you captive, but come to the Lord and be saved and delivered and raised from being dead in trespasses and sins, like this girl was raised and given life and able to walk. In Jesus' case, miracles were also signs. They were wonders to behold. There were also signs to the nation of Israel that Jesus was the Messiah. You read that word Messiah, you can put a slash beside it and write Christ. They mean the same thing. The anointed one of God. Jesus was baptized by John and anointed by the Holy Spirit to begin his public ministry of preaching the gospel, of healing the sick, of raising the dead. And he will come again, and it's just as real as these miracles that we read about today. They teach a spiritual truth. It takes the same power of God to save a sinful soul as it does to raise somebody from the dead. The point of these miracles includes illustrations of deeper spiritual truths. If you look with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and verse 32 through 35, John 6, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He goes in reference to the wilderness journey where God gave manna for the children of Israel to eat for the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders said, Moses gave us this bread. Moses didn't give it to them. God gave it to them. But it was simply a symbol of what God was yet to provide through the Lord Jesus Christ. That manna gave them life. It kept them alive to eat. But Jesus gives us eternal life, and he's the bread come down from heaven. Some of these miracles were related to the individual's own personal faith and prayer. The Syrophoenician woman besought Christ, the Messiah of the Jews, and she a Gentile. But she besought him in mercy, asking him to help her daughter who was possessed of a demon. And Jesus helped her in his grace and mercy. It was because of her faith, her belief. And he said he had not seen that much faith in others in Israel. The four men who brought their friend on the bed and tore the tiles off the roof and let him down in front of Jesus to be saved. The Bible says he saw their faith. Those four people that brought him. I've told Nathan this already and probably said it in church. That four people carry somebody to Jesus. They're big wheels, in my opinion. You get four big wheels, you got a church bus. You know, you can bring some others to Jesus and provide some transportation. Jesus was on a mission, and his mission today is to build his church and to make disciples of all nations of people. From every ethnic background, all men are welcomed to come to Jesus and be saved. And when we come to Jesus and be saved, we can share the message with our own people wherein we live, with our family and friends and co-workers, and tell them what good things God has done for us. And he came to preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Luke 4, he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. And he talked about healing the brokenhearted and the wounded and the sick. And he has the power to do that, and he demonstrated that in the miracles that he did. Now today you and I are co-laborers with God in the building of his church. I won't read it for the time, but 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 through 11 talks about the fact that we are co-laborers with God. We are God's building. Now today I want to pick up where we stopped last in Mark 5. It is also in Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 18 through 26. And in Luke 8, verse 41 through 56, while Jesus is teaching, the ruler of the synagogue comes to him. One passage refers to him as the chief ruler of the synagogue. Mark 5:22 reveals his name is Jairus, and Luke 8:41 the same. I've read that in large synagogues of that day, they would have about eight elders who would be in charge of the synagogue, but they would have one who was the ruler of the synagogue. And apparently Jairus was. No doubt this is the same synagogue that was spoken of early on that a centurion had helped build this synagogue for the Jewish people. And Jesus had attended that synagogue in Luke 4:33, where he cast demons from a man who spoke out publicly and recognized who Jesus was. Then when he left the synagogue, he went very close to it, to Peter's house. And there he healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever, a great fever. And then that evening, they brought all the people around that area. Word had spread. And they brought the sick and those with disease and those who were demon-possessed. And they would have occupied all night with Jesus, but he left them after a period of time and went across the Sea of Galilee. Now he's come back from dealing with the demoniacs of Gadara and casting the demons out of the two men that were living in the tombs. And now he's teaching, and this ruler comes and falls down before him. One of these passages tells us he worshiped Jesus. He bowed before him and gave him recognition that he is the Christ, the Messiah of God. You see, first of all, Jesus is accessible. You can come to Jesus a lot faster than you could come to a pastor of a big church. I don't demand that people make appointments to come see me. If somebody comes to me and they're nervous and upset and they got a need, they need to see somebody, and I'll see them if there's any way possible. But sometimes you got to make appointments with people to get a chance to see them. Jesus was accessible, and he still is today. He said that all the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. John 6:37. This man has heard about Jesus. He was probably at the synagogue when he cast the demons out. He heard about him healing the sick and those at Peter's mother-in-law. I would ask you today, do you pray for your children? This ruler comes and beseeches Jesus to help his little daughter, 12 years of age. This is a good age for one to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have understanding of who God is and what the Bible's all about and who Jesus is, and to have faith to believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. We should pray for our children, and we should bring them to Jesus just like this man is bringing Jesus to her. And we can bring Jesus to our children at home with family devotion from the Bible, with our personal education of our children in the knowledge of God and the Word of God, by bringing them to church and Sunday school and junior church and master club. They can learn all about what the Bible teaches. Now, he believed Jesus could help. And he came to him and said, "Master, lay your hand upon her and she shall live." So Jesus goes with him, Matthew 9:19. I ask you, do you have faith to seek Jesus on behalf of your children? Do you believe he's accessible, that you can pray and get hold of him? He has the power and he has the will to help you, but you must believe. On the way there, they pass through a multitude of people. They're bumping up against a lot of people to get through to go to this ruler's house to help his daughter. We looked at Mark 5:24-36. Now, Jesus knows that a particular woman touched him on his garment and that she was healed. He knew that virtue went out of him to heal this woman. Males would make robes, and on the hem of the robe at the bottom there would be some tassels. And this woman simply touches one of those tassels with faith that if she does this, she can be healed. Now, my second point today is for us to remember that when God asks a question, it is not for his benefit. He already knows the answer. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Now, his disciples were amazed that he would ask that with all the people bumping up against him. But Jesus knew someone had touched him in faith to be healed. He knew what was taking place. So his question was to allow this woman to make confession of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to teach his disciples and others that he is the Messiah with the power to heal. Who touched me? This woman confesses. The woman is healed, but the disciples are confused about him asking this. The woman comes then and falls down and confesses that she is the woman who had the hemorrhage of blood for 12 years, and she believed if she could touch his garment that she could be made well. Now, she may have been a little concerned at first instead of immediately stepping forth when Jesus said something. She could have hesitated a little bit because she knew that that disease made her unclean. And she probably felt unworthy to come up and touch Jesus. But she'd reasoned in her mind if she could just touch the hem of his garment, just one of those tassels hanging down, that she could be healed. The best thing that can happen to a sinner is to realize they're lost and without God and under judgment and condemnation and come to the Lord for help and call upon the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. He's the Redeemer, the Savior, the Deliverer. He's Jesus Christ. And we put our faith and trust in Him who's risen from the dead to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and to give us eternal life and prepare a home in heaven for us. Now, when Jesus gets close to the place here, this woman has been separated from her loved ones because of her uncleanness, and she has been under a stigma and humiliation. She's not even allowed to attend public worship service at the temple or the synagogue because of this disease. And like sinners, our guilt haunts us. We're reminded from time to time of the things that we've done wrong. And God would use that to bring us to Him in faith, believing, to repent of our sin, to turn away from it, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And she knows in her heart that He can help her, and she gets through all this press of people and touches His garment. She comes and bows and tells Him the story. Her sins were laid upon Him whom she touched. Our sins were laid upon Him when He died on Calvary. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus makes a statement to her that He doesn't to any other woman. He says, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole." Now thirdly, while He delays to deal with this woman, word comes to Jairus that his daughter has died. "Don't trouble the master any longer, the teacher any longer. Your daughter has already died." And Jesus gives this man assurance. "Be not afraid, only believe." Great message from God to those who believe. We don't have to fear. We can believe God. We can believe His word. We can claim His promise. He can protect us and provide for us and for all the needs that we have. Matthew 6:33 tells us, if we seek God first and His righteousness, then He will add the things that we need of food and shelter and clothing. And He will supply those needs. Now Jesus arrives at the house and the mourners are already there playing their music and mourning. This was a part of a professional thing that could be provided to pay mourners to come and weep over the dead. And Jesus told them to stop and to move. This girl wasn't dead, she was just asleep. And they laughed at the Lord Jesus Christ. They laughed at the girl's death. They laughed at the funeral, they think, that's about to take place. But Jesus puts them out. He removes unbelief from him as he's about to do this miracle. He only allows the mother and father and the disciples that came with him to enter the room where the girl is lying on the bed. And he takes her by the hand and he spoke in the Aramaic language, which is the language of the people there. Talithai kuma. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. The greatest thing in the world can happen to your children is for the Lord Jesus Christ to give them life everlasting. And by faith in Him, they can receive salvation. All their sins are forgiven. They become a child of God, a part of the family of God. And all of us who are saved are brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jesus is our elder brother. It makes no difference what your ethnicity is. You're a child of God. You're a part of the Christian family by faith in Him. The greatest thing in the world for your children is to be raised to life by Jesus and then walk in newness of life. Does that mean that we don't have to do anything for them, just bring them to Jesus? No, the first thing Jesus said is give her some food. She needed to be fed. There are things that we have to do for ourselves in life and things that we have to do to care for our families. But the most important need, only Jesus can take care of. So don't be afraid. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As he told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Because they went home with him that night and preached the gospel to all the family, and they were all baptized, as these young people will be today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you save us from our sins. And we ask that you'll bless today in this baptismal service and use it for your honor and glory. Bless these young people and help them to grow strong in the faith and be witnesses for you. We pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. You go get ready.